Good morning.
Dawn.
We're barely into a new year.
我们刚刚开始新的一年。
Many of us like to make things called New Year's resolutions.
我们中间有许多人都习惯叫新年励志。
Well, it's the 13th day of the new year.
今天是新年的第十三天。
Most who have made resolutions have had plenty of time to already break them.
大多数励志的人大概都已经有足够的时间来把你原来立的志都已经把它破坏掉。
It might possibly cause us to consider our own commitment to our resolutions.
所以让我们开始来思考我们对于我们的立的志所下的这个承诺。
I want to spend some time this morning talking about commitment.
今天早上我想要跟大家谈的是关于委身。
But not commitment to those kinds of things like I'm going to be more on time this year or I'm going to be friendlier to people. Things, I'm talking about commitment to God.
我今天所要讲的这个承诺并不是一般我们讲的说哦，我决定我以后要多守遵守时间或者要对我的朋友好一点。我所要谈到的是对神的承诺，对神的委身。
We've just sung that and heard that wonderful hymn by Francis Ridley Havergal. Take my life and let it be what? What's the next word? Consecrated
to thee. 我们刚刚唱了一首诗歌就是献身于主。
I'd like to talk about commitment in the lives as exemplified in the lives of two men this morning.
我今天要谈到是有两个人的这种例子在这委身于神的例子。
First of these is William Borden.
第一个是叫威廉·波登。
William Borden was a member of a very wealthy family in the Chicago area.
威廉·波登出生于芝加哥一个很富裕的家庭。
His family was responsible for the Borden Dairy complex, and it was very extensive, even more than 100 years ago.
他的家族就是一个波登乳业企业，他们在一百年前就已经很富裕了。
So he grew up in a wealthy family.
他在一个很富裕的家庭生长。
A family that was privileged and respected.
他们很有特权，而且非常受尊敬。
And a family that was Christian.
而且他们也是一个基督徒的家庭。
He grew up hearing about God. He grew up hearing about God.
他从小就听到有关于神。
He accepted the Lord in his early teens.
他在十多岁的时候就接受了主。
He graduated from high school in 1904.
在1904年他从高中毕业。
His graduation present was perhaps a little more extensive than yours or mine might be.
他的高中毕业礼物大概比我们大家一般所收到的好的很多。
At a time when not many people did it, his graduation present was a trip around the world.
在那个时候他的毕业礼物是一个环游世界的旅行。
While he was halfway around the world in Asia, his trip was interrupted by some rather severe illness.
当他旅行到亚洲的时候，因为染上了疾病，所以在那里呆延了。
From what he saw when he was there and from the time that he spent during his illness, he developed a burden for the lost in Asia.
当他停留在那里的时候，因为他所看见的一切，让他产生了一种对亚洲的传道的一个信念。
Especially those in China.
尤其是对于中国。
And he felt strongly that God had called him to the life of a missionary to the people of China.
他很强烈地感觉到神呼召他到中国去传教。
He wanted the people of China to know about Jesus.
他要中国的人能够认识神。
After he got well, he returned to the Chicago area, and it was time for him to go to university.
病好以后，他回到芝加哥，然后准备进大学。
He did his undergraduate work at Yale University.
他在耶鲁大学念大
学。In addition to his studies, he was very instrumental in bringing about Bible study groups in that university.
除了他自己的学业以外，他还在那里建立了这个圣经课程。
It is said that at one time more than 75% of the student body of Yale University was regularly attending Bible study.
据说有一段时间在有75%的耶鲁的学生都参加到他的这个圣经课程。
But he also realized that the wealth of his family caused him to bear responsibilities.
他同时也提认到说他家里的这个财富也同时也有他的责任。
He saw that money was a tool for doing good.
他把金钱当作一个做善为善的一个工具。
He started and personally managed a rescue mission in the city of New Haven, Connecticut, where Yale University is located.
他在康乃狄克的 New Haven 创立了一个援救施工。
And he also started a home for widows, orphans, and the physically handicapped back in his hometown of Chicago.
同时在芝加哥他也创立了一个给寡妇、孤儿以及身体残疾的人的这个帮助的家庭。
He spent a lot of time riding trains back and forth between Connecticut and Chicago to supervise this home that he is running.
他经常来往于这个康乃狄克跟芝加哥之间来看视察他建立的工作。
I don't know how he managed to keep his grade point average up.
我不知道他怎么样能够维护他的学业成绩还能很好。
While he was at Yale, he wrote in his Bible these words.
当他在耶鲁的时候，他在他的圣经上面写的这几个字。
No reserves.
不保留，没有保留。
William Borden had learned two important things about a life of commitment to God.
威廉·波顿学到了委身于神的两件很重要的事情。
He had learned that in order to live, you have to die.
他学习到说，如果要活的话，你必须要先死。
You see, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
耶稣基督在马太福音16:24-25这样说，若有人要跟从我，就当舍己，背起他的十字架来跟从我。因为凡要救自己生命的，必丧掉生命。凡为我丧掉生命的，必得着生命。
He had to give up his own desires and yield himself to God's desires.
他必须要放弃他自己的所希望的事情啊，服从神。
He also found out that in order to really live, you had to serve.
他同时也发现说，你如果要活的话，你必须要侍奉。
In John 12:26, the Lord Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him."
在约翰福音12:26这样说，若有人服侍我，我父必尊重他。
He had learned no reserves, nothing withheld.
他学习到说，没有保留。
He went on to do graduate work at Princeton Theological Seminary at a time when that seminary was a very wonderful place to study the Word of God.
他毕业以后到了普林斯顿的神学院去学习。
He was still committed to missionary goals.
他仍然立意要做传教的工作。
However, his father was now deceased.
这时候他的父亲已经去世了。
And his family wanted him to take over the business.
那他的家人希望他能够接管他父亲的事业。
Big business.
这是一个很大的事业。
Lots of money.
很多的钱。
Lots of responsibility.
很大的责任。
Lots of glory.
很多的荣耀。
But instead, he insisted that God's call took preference.
可是他坚持他要遵守神对他的呼召。
At this time, he actually disposed of most of his wealth because he saw it as a possible stumbling block.
在那时候，他把他大部分的财富都处置掉了，因为他认为他可能是一个绊脚石。
He continued on his path of following God's call to missionary service.
他持续在他神对他所做的呼召上面工作。
While he was at Princeton, he added the following words in his Bible.
当他在普林斯顿的时候，他在他的圣经上又写下了这几个字
No retreat
没有倒退
No with no taking back any of the commitment that he had.
绝不收回任何他所做下的承诺。
Now it was time for him to go ahead and do some missionary work in the Far East.
这时候他要去做到远东去做一些传道的工作。
Soon after finishing his studies at Princeton, he departed for China.
他在普林斯顿毕业之后，他就启程往中国去。
He went there to work as a missionary to the people of the Gansu region of China.
他到中国的甘肃去做一个传道士。
Many of them were Muslim.
在那里很多人是回教徒。
He stopped in Egypt on his way to visit a fellow missionary for a time of fellowship and a time to brush up on his Arabic.
在他往中国的途中，他在埃及停留了一段时间去做传道的工作，同时也学习阿拉伯文。
While he was there, he contracted cerebral meningitis, and he died a month later at the age of 25.
在埃及的时候，他传染上了脑炎，然后一个月以后就去世了。他那时候只有25岁。
A few days before his death, he added these words to his Bible.
在他过世之前的几天，他在圣经上又加上了这几个字。
No regrets.
没有后悔。
He probably knew at that time that he was not going to live, but he still wrote no regrets.
那个时候他可能已经知道说他已经不久于人世，可是仍然他写下这几个字，没有后悔。
These three statements,
这三句话，
No reserves, no retreat, no regrets,
没有保留，没有倒退，没有后悔，
speak directly to the nature of Christian commitment,
很清楚地描述了基督徒委身的这个本质。
Taken together, they probably form as good a working definition of commitment as we are likely to find.
你把这三个加在一起的话，这是一个最好的定义，就是一个基督徒的委身。
In his brief years, William Borden had learned what commitment was all about.
在他短暂的生命里面，威廉·波登他学到了怎么样的是一个基督徒的委身。
No reserves.
毫不保留。
Nothing withheld.
绝不退缩。
He had learned to give all of his life to God's purpose.
他学习到如何把他的生命完全交托给神在他身上的目的。
Money and time were tools to achieve God's ends.
金钱跟时间都是完成神所交给他任务的一个工具。
He had learned no retreat.
他学到了绝不退却。
Nothing withdrawn.
绝不倒退。
He decided not to permit anything to come between him and God's purpose for his life.
他决定说不要让任何事情阻挡在他跟完成神交给他的工作之间。
And no regrets.
绝不后悔。
Nothing to go back and change.
绝对不改变任何事情。
He had no sorrow in giving up a life of ease and comfort and perhaps greater years.
他对于放弃他一个很舒适的生活，他绝对不会感觉到遗憾。
The scripture has much to tell us about commitment by way of example in the lives of men and women.
圣经里面有许多像这样的例子。
In addition to the wonderful example of William Borden, I would like to go to the scripture and briefly review some of the issues of commitment in the life of Nehemiah.
除了威廉·波顿的例子以外，今天我想跟大家讨论一下有关尼希米给我们的例子。
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah.
请翻到尼希米记。
By way of background, Nehemiah was a Jewish man living in Susa, the capital of Persia, along with a lot of other Jews.
尼希米是一个犹太人，那时候住在波斯的首都苏珊，跟其他的很多犹太人住在一起。
Most of these Jews had not been born in Israel, but actually been born in Persia or Babylon.
大部分的这些犹太人都是在不是在以色列出生的，而是在波斯在这里出生的。
They were the product of an exile of most of the Jews from Judah when the Babylonians came under Nebuchadnezzar in their conquest about 100 years earlier.
他们都是当初尼布甲尼撒征服耶路撒冷之后被掳回到波斯的人的后代。
Then Babylon was conquered by Persia, as things happen in the great nations.
尼布甲尼撒的巴比伦王国后来又被波斯王国给灭掉。
Well, God saw to it that the temple was built, and we read about that in the book of Ezra.
我们在以斯拉记的时候有看到那个 圣殿被重建。
And Nehemiah then follows that, the work of Ezra.
尼希米继续了这个以斯拉的工作。
Nehemiah had a special job. He was around the king. Every time the king ate or drank something, Nehemiah was around, so he saw him a lot.
尼希米是这个王的酒政，所以他常常能够见到王。
And though he had likely never been there, he was very concerned about his homeland, the land of his ancestors, the city of his ancestors, Jerusalem.
虽然尼希米可能从来没有到过耶路撒冷，可是他很关心这个他的祖先所居住的城市。
And in chapter 1, verse 3, he got a report from some people who had been there saying that everything was in bad shape there.
在第一章第三节讲到，他有听到人家跟他提到耶路撒冷的现况那里，很不好。
The people were in distress, and the walls were broken down, and the gates were burned.
在耶路撒冷城墙拆毁，城门被火焚烧。
Nehemiah immediately committed himself to the reversal of this sad situation, and he prays that God would help him gain favor with the king.
尼希米马上就决定说他要把这个情况给他挽回来，然后他求神给他帮助。
He must have been persistent in his prayers because it was 4 months later that the king finally noticed there was something wrong.
他一定是很恳切的祷告，因为在四个月之后，这个王发现到他的不对劲。
One day the king looked at him and he said, "What's the matter?"
有一天，那个王就问他说，你怎么了？
So Nehemiah told him why he was upset.
尼希米就告诉了那个王他为什么悲伤。
He told him his concern about Jerusalem and his home, the homeland of his ancestors.
他说他关心他耶路撒冷他祖先的城市。
He must have had a pretty good relationship with the king.
他跟王的关系一定很好。
Because the king said, "Well, what do you want to do?"
因为国王对他说，你要怎么做呢？
And we then experience one of the shortest prayers on record.
就他在历史上一个最短的祷告。
In chapter 2, part of verse 4 and part of verse 5 says the following.
在第二章第四节跟第五节中间这样讲。
Nehemiah writes, "I prayed to God and said to the king."
他们说我默祷天上的神，然后对王说。
Sometimes you don't have a lot of time to pray.
有的时候你并没有很多时间来祷告。
Sometimes it's, "Lord, help me," and right into it.
有的时候你只说神啊，求神帮助我，然后就开始做你要做。
So he said to the king, "Here's what I want to do."
他对王说，我要这样做。
I want to go back and fix it.
我想要回去修复城墙。
The king says, "How long?"
国王就问他说，你要多久时间？
When will you come back?
你什么时候回来？
And so Nehemiah says, "I told him the time I would come back." Later on, we find out the time was about 12 years. Well, the king gives him everything he wants to, that he wants.
国王给了他他所要求的东西。
He appoints him the governor. He gives him a military escort. He gives him letters of passage. He gives him letters to the keeper of the forest so he can cut down the trees and fix the gates.
王的指派当他当省长，而且让给他通行无阻，给他所修复城墙所需要的材料。
So here's Nehemiah off over 600 miles of desert.
所以尼希米经跋涉经过600 mile 的沙漠。
That's kind of like going from here to Los Angeles by camel.
几乎是从这里到洛杉矶，骑骆驼从这里到洛杉矶。
It's a long ways.
是一个很长的路途。
Well, when he got there, guess what? There was opposition.
他达到到了那里以后，你猜他面对的是什么呢？是反对。
In verse 10 of chapter 2, we find a couple of fellows, one named Sanballat and another named Tobiah, who God is careful enough to inform us were enemies of Israel. By the tribes that they belong to, and they were, as it's put in this verse, deeply disturbed.
在第二章第十节这里，我们就看到有 荷伦人三巴拉和亚门人多比亚这些人都反对他，他们听到他要来修复城墙，他们就非常的恼怒。
And look at the reason why they were disturbed.
我们来看他们为什么会恼怒。
That a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel.
因为这个人他是来为以色列人的子孙的谋福。
They were no dummies.
他们不是傻子。
They knew that if Nehemiah was successful, their influence over the defenseless city of Jerusalem would go away.
让他们知道，如果说尼希米成功的话，那他们的对耶路撒冷的控制权就会消失。
So indeed, they were opposed to this.
所以他们非常反对他。
Well, the Jews in Jerusalem got started on the work right away. Everyone was willing to do his share.
耶路撒冷的犹太人立刻就开始了这项工作。
But now it was time for Nehemiah to find out if he was really committed.
这个时候，就是尼希米就面对说，他是不是真的委身在他这个工作上。
Was he really able to say he had no reserves?
他能不能真的说我没有任何的保留？
You see, when anybody ends up talking about commitment to God, then someone or something.Or some set of circumstances is going to test it.
那如果有一个人他说他要委身于神的话，那么就会有某些人或者某些事或者某些环境会来试炼他。
Perhaps we don't really know about our depth of commitment until it is tested.
也许我们也不知道我们对神委身的程度是真正有多少，直到我们遇到这些试炼。
But be sure, commitment will be tested.
可是肯定的是。你对神的委身一定会受到试炼。
And sure enough, there were challenges to Nehemiah's commitment.
当然，对尼希米来讲也会有一些挑战。
In chapter 4, we find the first thing that they tried was ridicule and mockery.
在第四章，我们看到他们第一先遇到的挑战就是嘲笑跟愚弄。
Because they were so unhappy, Sanballat and his friends.Mocked the Jews.
三巴拉跟他的朋友，他们非常的不高兴，所以他们就讥笑这些犹太人。
In verse 2, they say things like, "What are these weak and feeble Jews going to be doing?"
在第二节，他们说这些软弱的犹太人要做什么呢
？Will they fortify themselves?
要保护自己吗
？Will they complete it in a day?
要一日成功吗
？They're saying.Do they have the resources to really do this?
他说他们真的有这些资源来做这事情吗
？You know, if you have an activity that God has told you to do, perhaps you want to start a ministry.
如果说你要从事一个神呼召你做的事，说不定开始一个事工。
There's very likely to be somebody who will come along and say, "Well, you know, nobody's going to come."
我很可能就会跟你说，你开始这个施工的话，没有人会来的。
If they come, they won't pay any attention.
如果他们来的话，他们也不会注意听。
And once they hear what you've got to say, they won't come back.
而且他们听了你讲了以后，他们以后就不会再回来了。
There are going to be people who will ridicule and mock ideas that you have.
有人会讥笑
God has put in your mind.
你的一些主意啊或什么，他们会讥笑你。
Well, Nehemiah's response was quick and certain.
尼希米的反应是很快而且很确定的。
He prayed, God turn their shame back on them.
他祷告求主把这些羞愧的事情回到那些讥笑的人身上。
I like to envision that as him putting up an audible mirror that simply reflects their words back to them and ignores them.
我就想象他摆了一个回响板，就是人家讲过来的事就反映回到他们身上。
So he paid no attention to their ridicule and their mockery.
所以他毫不注意别人对他的讥笑。
And pretty soon the walls were half done.
很快这个城墙就完成了一半。
Well, the opposition got even more serious.And they decided they would pose some visible threats.
因为反对的声浪就越来越高，他们有更多的
They said, "We'll bring our armies and we'll park them on the hill over there, and we'll attack you."
他们说我们把我们的军队带来，来攻击你们。
We're not going to let you rebuild that wall. We're going to kill you all.
我们不会让你们重建这个城墙，我会把你们全部杀掉。
So Nehemiah said, "Well, we'll set watchmen out there so that we'll know when you're coming."
尼希米就说，那我们就派人看守，我们就知道你们什么时候会来攻击。
And the visible threat turned to an invisible threat.
那这样可以看到的威胁就变成看不见的威胁。
He said, "Oh well, we're not going to park our enemies on the hill where you can see them. We'll sneak around the corner, and we'll come when you don't see anything at all."
他们说我们不会把军队摆在外面让你们看到，我们会在你们不注意的时候来攻击你们。
And we'll come and kill you so that the work stops.
我们会来把你们杀死，然后工作就不能继续。
So we read in verse 11.
在我们来看第十一节第四章。
You know, often the hidden threat is the most terrifying.
常常这个看不见的威胁是最大的威胁。
But Nehemiah prays, and God tells him what to do.
可是尼希米祷告，然后神告诉他要怎么做。
And he decides that the defense that they will have is they will arm each family, so that each set of workers has those who are armed and those who are working.
所以他们就把武装起来，然后每一组的工人都会有武装的人在一边。
So they'll be ready whenever the enemy shows.
所以不论敌人什么时候来，他们都准备好。
Even at one point, Nehemiah says it's going to be like this. Anybody who's working will have a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other.
甚至有一段时间，他们的工人工作的时候，一个手拿着工具，另外一个手是拿着武器。
So be ready to resist the threat.
所以他们是准备好来人家的抵挡人家的攻击。
And sure enough, it worked.
然后是他们的这个。
The enemy was depressed.
敌人就很沮丧。
And the work continued.
他们的工作能够继续。
But not all the problem was from the enemy outside.
可是并不是所有的问题都是从外面的敌人来的。
Part of the problem was due to the greed of the wealthy Jews.
问题的一部分是由这些很贪婪的犹太人产生的。
You see, those who were not wealthy had still agreed to work on the walls.
那些贫穷的犹太人，他们仍然也是同意来修筑城墙。
And they weren't growing crops anymore. They weren't able to feed themselves, so they had to borrow money to eat.
因为他并没有继续种田，所以他们就没有钱，必须要借高利贷来养他们的家人。
And as they worked on the walls, they simply couldn't pay that money back.
因为他们在城墙上工作，所以他们没有能力来付掉这些高利贷的款项。
They just weren't able to pay back what they had borrowed.
他们没有能力去偿还他们的借款。
Well, Nehemiah heard about this and he went to the wealthy Jews and he said to them, "This is wrong. This is there's a word for this. Moses wrote about it, and it's called usury."
尼希米听了这个消息，他就去找那些富有的犹太人说，你们这样做是错的，说摩西曾说你们这是一个放高利贷。
He convinced them that they should not be collecting this money from those who are willing to work on the walls, and they complied.
他说服那些有钱人说，你们不应该跟这些在城墙上工作的穷人收取高利贷，他们就同意了。
In chapter 5 verse 12, those who had loaned the money said, "We will restore it and we will require nothing from them. We will do as you say."
在第五章第十二节这样的那些富人这样说，我们必归还，不再向他们索要，必照你的话行。
He overcame a problem within his own people.
他解决了这他自己组里面的问题。
And sometimes the challenge to our own commitment may come from within God's people.
有的时候对我们工作的挑战可能是从神的子民里面而来的。
There may be times when people criticize the work from within the body of believers.
有的时候说不定是我们自己信徒里面会来批评你的工作。
When that happens, I think we need to do what Nehemiah did.
如果这种事情发生的话，我想我们必须要做像尼希米这样做。
He turned to the scripture.
他转向圣经。
He showed them how it was wrong.
他告诉他们为什么他们是错的。
And I think rather than argue, we should look at the word.
所以，与其与人争辩，我们应该来看神的话语。
Nehemiah recognized God's plan for him, and he demonstrated his commitment to it by resisting all of these challenges to his commitment.
尼希米知道神在他身上的工作，而且他也 决意是来抵挡这些。
He could truthfully say he had no reserves.
他可以真正的说他毫无保留。
Well, the work on the wall proceeded.
在城墙的建成的工作继续。
And the next issue became a test of whether or not he would allow himself to be separated from the work.
下一个试炼就是说他会不会让他自己跟这个修成的工作会中间有隔阂。
Would he retreat from the commitment that he had made?
他会不会从他所做的这个委身的决定退后？
Sure enough, there were temptations to retreat from God's work.
他会受到这个试探让他从神的工作来退却。
The enemy wasn't about to give up.
因为他的敌人并没有准备放弃。
In chapter 6, we read the first thing they tried to do was physically separate him from the work.
在第六章我们读到说他的敌人所要做的第一步是想让他实际上是从这个建成的工作上分开来。
There had been a similar temptation in William Borden's life.
这个试探跟威廉波顿所受的试探有点相似。
When he was at Princeton Theological Seminary and his father died, his family wanted him to come back and run the business.
当威廉波顿在普林斯顿神学院的时候，他的父亲过世，所以他的家人希望他能回去接管事业。
That would have been a physical separation from his commitment to be a missionary.
这是一个实体上，就是说他让他跟他所委身的工作会有分开。
Well, what kind of cleverness is the enemy going to use with respect to Nehemiah?
那么尼希米的敌人他们要用什么样的计策呢？
They said, oh, everything, we need to have a talk, so come down to the valley down here and let's sit down and talk about what's going on.
他们说我们需要坐下来谈谈，所以请你到我们这里来，我们来谈这个事情。
Well, his response was, the work's going fine right here. I don't need to come and meet with you. Why should I interrupt the work to go off and have a meeting with you?
他的回答是说我们现在工作进行得很顺利，我为什么需要到你们那里去见面呢？
Don't let someone or some set of circumstances draw you away from what you know to be God's purpose in your life.
不要让任何人或者是任何样的环境把你从神，你知道神所给你的使命中间来分开。
Some other things may look attractive.
其他事情可能看起来很让你心动。
But resist the temptation to separate from what God has called you to do.
可是你要抵挡这个试探，这个诱惑，让你从神的工作离开。
Since that didn't work, they tried character assassination.
因为他们第一个计策没有成功，所以他们又有另外一个要污蔑他的品格。
They came to him with what's called an open letter.
他们寄给他了一封没有封的信。
And the open letter is accusing him of doing all of this to bring glory and profit to himself.
这封信里面他们说他所做的是为他自己的福利。
Interesting how it's not a private letter.
他们这封信并不是给他私人的。
It's an open letter so everybody else can know what's in this letter.
这是一封没有封住的信，所以每个人都可以看到这封信的内容。
It's kind of like if I don't like something you're doing, instead of going to you and talking to you about it or writing you a private letter, I publish it in the newspaper.
比如说我对你所做的不高兴的话，我就与其我写一封信给你，我不做那样做，我反而在报纸上公开登着我给你的信。
So what did he do when people tried to slander him?
所以当别人想要毁谤他的时候，他怎么做呢？
He simply said, no, that's not true, and he turned it over to God.
他只跟他们说你们讲的不是真的，然后他就转向神。
He didn't get into a shouting match with them.
他并没有跟他们互相对骂。
That would have served their purposes.
这就是他们所要求的。
That would have drawn attention away from the work.
那样就会使他的注意力从他的工作上挪开。
If you ever get in a situation where you're slandered, if at all possible, just don't get drawn into a campaign about your reputation.
如果你万一碰到这样的情景的话，你不要一直跟他们好像 持久的跟他们来争辩。
Simply say what's true and what's not and walk away from it.
你只要把事实讲出来，然后就转身离开。
Let God take care of your reputation.
让神来看管你的名誉。
Nehemiah's prayer in verse 9 was, God strengthen my hands.
尼希米在第九节的祷告是说，神啊，求你坚固我的手。
The only way in which he was concerned about his reputation was how it might affect the ability to carry out the work.
他唯一关心对于他的名誉所关心的就是这如何会影响到他所做他的工作会有什么影响。
If we allow ourselves to put our own concerns and our own reputation first, we have retreated from commitment.
如果我们把对我们自己的关心摆在前面的话，那我们就离开神的工作了。
Well, the enemy wasn't finished. They decided to try and get him to retreat by way of fear.
So, 敌人并没有罢手，他们想要让他恐惧。
They hired Shemaiah, one of the Jews, to come and tell him a message that they wanted him to hear.
他们找了一个犹太人示玛雅来跟他传达他们所要给他的信息。
He said, "They're coming in the night to kill you. You need to go into the temple, lock the doors of the temple. You'll be safe there."
那示玛雅跟他们说，他们晚上会要来杀你，你赶快逃到这个圣殿里面，把你自己锁在里面。
It didn't take Nehemiah long to figure out that Shemaiah really didn't believe that. He really had been hired by Sanballat and those other guys.
尼希米很快的就知道说，示玛雅其实是由他的敌人所派来的。
And he says in verse 13 of chapter 6, for this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me.
在第六章十三节，他这样写：会买他的缘故是要叫我惧怕，依从他犯罪，他们好传扬恶言毁谤我。
He realized that retreating from the work because of fear would be sin.
他知道如果说因为恐惧而离开他的工作是一个罪。
God has told us clearly in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
在提摩太后书第一章第七节这样说，因为神赐给我们不是胆怯的心，乃是刚强仁爱谨守的心。
Satan's forces are out there to pull you away from God's work, to get you to retreat from your commitment.
撒旦的势力是想要把你从你在神的工作上拉走。
James 4:7 we read, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you.
雅各书第四章第七节这样说，故此你们要顺服神，勿要抵挡魔鬼，魔鬼就必离开你们逃跑了。
Well, after 12 years as governor in Israel, Nehemiah returned to Susa, to Persia, according to the timetable that he had agreed to with the king of Persia.
尼希米在以色列当了12年省长之后就回到苏珊，这是他当初跟王所约定的。
He stayed there a while, we don't know how long, but a few years later, he returned to Israel.
在苏珊待了几年以后，他又回到以色列。
You might think his troubles were over, that he had dealt with all of his troubles.
你可能以为说他前面所遭遇的那困难都已经解决了。
That he left Israel in good condition.
他离开以色列的时候，那里情况一切都很好。
The walls and the gates of the city were rebuilt.
城墙也都已经建立起来。
The people did not have to fear the enemies outside the gates.
人民也不用惧怕在城墙外面的敌人。
Everything was wonderful.
什么一切都很美好。
Well, when he got back, he found there were perhaps some causes to regret his investment in time and money in this place.
可是他回来以后发现他当初所投下的这些心力可能有一些并没有如他所预期的那么好。
When he got back, he found that life was not all right.
他回来以后发现在耶路撒冷的生活并不是完全是正确好的。
His return in chapter 13 is filled with a list of things that are wrong in Jerusalem.
在十三章我们看见他发现在耶路撒冷有很多事情都不对的。
He found that Tobiah, that old enemy, was living in the temple.
他发现他当初的那个敌人多比亚是住在圣殿里面。
Not only was he living in the temple, he was there because Eliashib, the high priest, had invited him to live there.
因为他住在那里是因为他们那个祭司以利亚实邀请他住在那里。
What a wrong thing.
这是一个非常不对的事。
He also found that the tithe was not being kept. The priests were not being supported in the way that they were supposed to be.
他也发现他们的那里的人并没有遵守十一奉献，祭司并没有收到他们收入的十分之一。
He found that the Sabbath was not kept. They were doing things on Saturday, the Sabbath, that God said not to do.
他发现他们也没有遵守安息日，在安息日他们有做很多神叫他们不要做的事。
And he found that there was intermarriage with the enemy, the idolaters, the people who surrounded them.
他发现他们也跟其他拜偶像的外邦人通婚。
It would have been very easy for Nehemiah to say, why did I waste my time in getting everything set up when these people are just going to let it go?
尼希米很容易的可以说啊，我为什么花这么多时间精力在这里，我就让他们去吧。
Perhaps some of us would have not really even blamed him. He said, when is the next camel parade going back to Persia? Because I don't want to be here.
也许他也可以说啊，下一批回波斯的骆驼队什么时候要走，我就跟着回去吧。
But he didn't do that.
可他并没有这样做。
He fixed the things that were wrong.
他纠正了这些错误的事情。
He threw Tobiah out of the temple.
他把多比亚赶出了神殿。
He said, clean this place out, sweep it out. I don't even want the dust of that fellow here in the temple.
把这个地方打扫清洁，我不要多比亚的任何事情留在这里。
He made sure that the tithe was paid as it should have been, so the priests would be supported.
他也确定犹太人都有奉献十分之一，这样的祭司能够得到他们的份。
He kept the Sabbath by locking the gates and locking out the vendors on Saturday, so that they couldn't be selling on the Sabbath.
他也来守安息日，他把城门关起来，让他们不能进来。
And I don't know about part of the way he solved the intermarriage problem.
我不知道他怎么样解决这个与外族通婚的这个问题。
Says he.He got the fathers to promise not to let their sons marry the enemy or their daughters to be given in marriage. Partly he did that by pulling on their hair.
他叫那些做父亲的来同意说叫他们的子女不要与这些拜偶像的外族通婚。
God has all kinds of ways to get things done.
神有许多的方法让我们来完成我们的工作。
But he delivered the guilty to God. He took care of those problems.
可是他把这些事情都交托给神，然后纠正了这些错误的事情。
He ends his writing by asking God, "Remember me, O my God, for good."
尼希米他求神，他在他写的时候说求神呢、啊、纪念我。
He had no regrets because he knew that God would remember the good of his life, the things that he had done for God.
他在生里面他没有保留，因为他做了所有神要他做的事。
The key to having no regrets is to realize that having no regrets is not part of the formula for commitment.It is the result of commitment.
要没有后悔的重点，就是说你必须要了解说，这个没有后悔并不是说你委身的一个原因，而是你委身的一个结果。
Nehemiah gave his life to God's purpose.
尼希米把他的生命献给了神所要他做的任务。
And he had no regrets for doing it.
他也毫不后悔。
You can read about it in the 13 chapters of the book of Nehemiah.
你可以在尼希米书的第十三章里面读到这些有关他的事情。
William Borden gave his life without reservation, and he refused to retreat from that commitment.
威廉·波登他把他的生命毫无保留地交给神，而且他也拒绝从那里有任何的退缩。
Therefore, he had every reason to have no regrets.
所以他可以毫无保留地说他完全没有后悔。
Life of William Borden is very, very inspiring.
威廉·波登的一生是非常能够让人敬仰。
You can read about it in this little book.
对，这本书里面就有关他的生平。
I thoroughly recommend it.
我全力的推荐这本书。
Do you know what Nehemiah's name means?
你知道尼希米这个名字的意思是什么？
Means God, or rather Jehovah comforts.
他的意思是说耶和华安慰。
Nehemiah was a comfort to God, and a comfort to those around him.
尼希米是对神的一个安慰，也是对他周边的人的一个安慰。
Both Nehemiah and William Borden have set very high standards for us.
尼希米跟威廉·波顿为我们设下了一个很高的一个标准。
Let me talk for just a moment to the young people in the audience.
我想跟我们会众里面的年轻人讲几句话。
You're at a time in your life where you're making.Very important decisions.
你们现在正在处于你们生命中一段时的这段时期，就是要做很重要的决定。
Of course, the most important decision, if you haven't already made it, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
当然，最重要的决定，就如果你还没有做这个决定的话，这就是把你自己委身于神，接受耶稣。
You can't possibly know what commitment is or how to bring it about without that.
如果你没有委身于神的话，你就没有办法了解什么叫做真正的委身。
But you're making decisions about where to go to school.
你现在做一些决定，说你要去哪里读书。
What to study?
去学什么
？Maybe some of you are deciding whether or not to study.
或者要决定说要不要继续读书。
Those are important decisions because they.Determine a pathway for your life, which later on may be hard to change.
这些都是很重要的决定，因为这些可能决定了你以后的道路，你以后就不可能再改变。
Be sure you include God in those decisions.
请确定你在做这些决定的时候，把神加在里面。
Be sure you don't just think about your own personal desires when you pick a field of endeavor.
请你不要只把你自己的愿望。摆在那里来决定你以后要做什么。
Ask God what He wants you to do.
问神他要你做什么。
What He wants you to be.
他要你成为什么样的人。
Where He wants you to go.
他要你到哪里去。
Now for those of us who aren't so young.
至于我们这些不是那么年轻的人。
You might say, well, I could have made some better decisions back in my life sometimes.
你可能说我当初也可能做一些更好的决定。
I could have taken a different pathway.
我可以有另外一种不同的想法。
God probably had a better way to use me.
神可能有更好的方法来使用我。
Well, somebody a long time ago said something very wise.
很久以前有一个人讲过一个有智慧的话。
Said today is the first day of the rest of your life.
今天是我剩下生命里面的第一天。
Even if we haven't made all the decisions that we should have made in the past, what about right now?
即使你之前并没有做很正确的决定，那么现在呢？
For the rest of your life, are you willing to do as William Borden did?
在你剩下的生命里面，你愿不愿意像威廉·波顿那样子做？
Are you willing to say, God, I have no reserves?
你愿不愿意跟神说，我神呀，我没有保留。
I will not retreat.
我不会倒退。
And I expect to have no regrets.
我也预期我不会任何的后悔。
Let's pray.
让我们祷告。
Father, thank you for the examples that we have studied today.
父神，感谢你让我们看到今天我们学习的这些榜样。
Help us, Lord, to put you first in our lives.
神啊，求你帮助我们把你摆在第一位。
Help us to stop at each pathway in the road and ask, which way would you have us go?
神啊，求你帮助我们在每一条路途上停下来，然后问神啊，要我往哪里去？
We know you have promised to tell us.
我们知道你有应许要告诉我们。
You have promised to guide us.
你应许你会指引我们。
You have promised to give us the strength that we need to follow your path.
你也应许我们你会给我们力量来遵守你的道路。
Lord, give us the willingness to follow it.
请你给我们这个愿意的心来跟随你。
We pray in Jesus' name.
奉耶稣基督的名祷告。